Good morning. This is Tech Talk. I got Michael, Tech Talk counselor, and I think let's switch over. Do we have our good friend Dave Sparky Saganaki?
Hi, Michael.
Hey,
good morning, everybody.
Oh my! You sound like you're in Panama. Honestly, you sound very, very clear today. This is fantastic. Well, welcome. Good weekend to you, and hello.
Good weekend to you. Happy Columbus Day.
Yes, that's right. That's right. It is Columbus Day. I'm going to get some pox infected blankets to celebrate, I think, and lay those out on the front porch.
Wow. That opens up a whole door of things you could say about Columbus. Yeah.
It probably shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, we don't want to contradict the propaganda we've been taught from our wonderful textbooks from our entire youth.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. We don't want to step on that. Don't want to step on that. I've got many years invested in my lies and half truths about the history of America, and I don't want to ruin that run now.
Yeah, every country needs a myth. We have ours.
That's right. I'm guessing that our good friend Jay Geek Trivia Garmin is probably he's very good. I don't know this for sure, so I hope I don't step on anything for him. But I'm guessing he's probably going to have some Columbus related trivia for us. He likes to do that stuff that's in time or in sequence with what we're doing at the moment.
He's wonderful. It's so nice to work with somebody that actually prepares for the show.
I know. I keep thinking I should do that too someday. The problem is if I prepared for the show, then, you know, all of that prep and stuff would just get stolen. Somebody would hack it with that. What's the big one now? We got the back off malware.
Off malware.
Yeah, and so what? You've got one though that you've heard of, a new hack?
Oh no, yeah, oh yeah, Kmart.
Oh, Kmart. I haven't heard about Kmart.
That was just last night. Came out last night.
Yeah. Man, I miss seeing all my prep. I miss that. I was still reeling from the Dairy Queen hack.
I didn't know about the Dairy Queen hack.
I hope you haven't gotten any peanut butter parfaits in the last couple of months here.
That used to be my thing, but then they stopped. I used to get it with frozen yogurt. Then they stopped. DQ stopped doing that. Ooh. But and that's probably why they got hacked.
Yeah, it could be. It could be. Somebody said we want a piece of that. Yeah,
who uses credit cards at Dairy Queen?
Everybody now, I guess. I don't know. It's not just for, you know, kids anymore. And there's a lot of Dairy Queens around. It's supposedly, I guess, around 10%, they say 9%, but around 9 to 10%, if we round it up, of the 4,500 outlets of Dairy Queen were hacked with this back off malware, which has been really prevalent in almost every single one of the recent hacks, including the Target hack. All the point of sale hacks have, many of them anyways, have been part of this back off malware thing. And so they're just like every other major group that's been hacked and lost all their information from the point of sale transactions, are offering free identity repair services to affected customers. You can get a rundown of the affected locations if you click through. Just do a Google search on it. I'll try to remember to put a link up on our page as well, techtalkwrlr.com. But if I forget, like I said, just Google it. You'll find it pretty quickly. But yeah, it's, you know, it, there you go.
There's something that feels worse about Dairy Queen getting hacked, because it sounds like such an innocent thing. You know, just go out for some ice cream. You know, if this keeps up, cash is going to become fashionable again.
Well, either that, or my personal private hope, of course, is that the phone pay services are going to become prevalent, and that Apple and Android and everybody else is going to be doing their NFC and Apple Pay and all the other great stuff, and we'd never have to have cash or single you know, those single verification ways of paying for things like credit cards at a point of sale system. So that's where I've got my fingers crossed. I love every time I'm able to go somewhere and use Google Wallet or use my Starbucks card or whatever it is, and know I don't have to mess around with credit cards and taking all of my personal identity and information and throwing it into the air for people to snag.
I agree. And the door is wide open. They're like all these major data breaches. It's like a free advertising for a new method of virtual currency. Okay, but it's not really our credit cards aren't really virtual currency, are they?
No, they're not. Yeah, not like a Bitcoin. And all the others, those are more legitimately what you would consider a virtual currency. Same thing too. I would say like Apple Pay is not a virtual currency.
Right.
Neither is now Android. Interestingly, so the Google Pay, Google Wallet, I guess it's called, it approaches it just a touch. I think they're really on this borderline. One of the neat things that you can do, I don't know if it's neat or not, it's a time waster, but one of the things that you can do with Google Pay, when you install your Android phone, you can sign up and get these Google surveys, and it's from Google Play, the Play Store, and they show up, and I get one maybe once every week, something like this, and when I do, I can answer usually three or four very quick questions, yes or no, or a choice of four or five options, and I'll get anywhere from 10 cents $4 or $5, $0.10 up to as much as I think I got a buck one time for like three or four questions. It was crazy. So I've got maybe $7 or so of Google Play credit, but it's actual Google Play dollars of credit. And they also, though, Google Play also does this thing with these I can't remember what they're called, beans or buttons or tokens, things like that. And again, it's kind of like this, you can buy real stuff with those, or you can buy real stuff apps with your dollars. And they're one step away from just saying, hey, load it all onto your Google Wallet. Now you can use that to buy real stuff out in the world. And I would consider that pretty much a virtual currency.
Yeah. So what would you call credit cards? Would you call it cloud money?
Funny money.
Or evaporating money at this point.
A very shaky and unstable manner of using money that you don't even have to buy stuff that you don't need in most cases.
I don't know. I mean, do we really need that peanut butter parfait, as you said? Can we live without it?
Well, and it used to be, of course, the credit cards were the answer to checks and cash for two reasons, one of which was convenience in that you could use it and you didn't have to carry around big wads of dollars with you, and the other one was for that security, that level of security. If you have a pocket full of cash, anybody can push you over, grab the cash out of your pocket, and run off, and there's nothing you can do. I mean, you're done. And then the promise of the credit card was that, hey, yeah, somebody could push you over, take your credit card, maybe they'll do a couple of quick transactions with it, but as long as you report it, you're not going to be, hit in the pocketbook for the entire problem. The credit card companies take that onus upon themselves, take the responsibility and liability of that charges onto themselves because it's part of their security tracking system. And they generally do a very, very good job of that. There's very few people you talk to anymore who have not received a phone call or an email or something saying, hey, we noticed that you were out and you got gas and tennis shoes all in the same day. That's not what you normally do. Is this a legitimate purchase? That kind of thing. Checking up and making sure that you are using your credit card and it's not someone else who's using it. So as much as we hear about this stuff occurring and the thefts and the grabbing of data is happening on a larger and larger scale every day, I do still feel comfortable using my credit card. I do still feel somewhat secure making those transactions
No, that's not what it is. You're just too lazy to change it. Isn't it?
There is a laziness factor. There is. Well, hey, honestly, though, if I had the alternative, like I said, if I had the alternative right today of saying no more credit card, just give me, let me use near field communications with my droid, and I would jump on that in a heartbeat. I'd be more than happy to make that move. Now, a number of the retailers who had signed up and said and were reporting they were going to be going full force into the Apple Pay have since said, oh, we're slowing that process down right now. So so hopefully that doesn't, you know, kill things early, but I don't think it will. I think it just means it's taken a little longer to get some of the equipment and get some of the transaction processing set up than they expected. But I do believe that in the next probably 2 years, you know, not even that, we're really going to see a change in the way that we buy things in the world. You know, not so much online, but I think when we're buying things in the world, that it's going to be a different process. There's going to be different options available for us.
Yeah, we can, you know, we can ride around in our self-driving cars, you know, our autonomous vehicles, and just wave our phones at McDonald's
as we're driving by, and then it'll then the 3D manufacturer will kick on in the dash box and create us our little egg and muffin, and we're ready to go.
That sounds great. Oh yeah, we talked about that before with the flour made out of ground up insects.
That's it. You'd have a you know, not only your gas tank, but yeah, you go and you pump up full of dead insect husk, and you're ready for the road.
The future is better than you think. Right?
There you go. Well, have you seen the Tesla D? Of course.
No, I haven't. I've not seen it. What do you think? So, so that's the. I don't even know anything about it. So, is that the consumer, the mid level consumer model that they've been talking about all these years?
No. This, no. This is the high. This is the fun, exciting, sporty. Everything, including a kitchen sink, I think, is in there somewhere. Model for the Tesla. It's, of course, following with their same, electric vehicle only, but it's got 0 to 60 speeds that are going to knock your socks off. And also, too, it's got some of the first commercially available autonomous driving capabilities
I did see that in one of the headlines. That's right.
Yeah. No, I have not, and I apologize, I haven't really taken any time. I've seen the videos posted, and I just haven't flicked through to see them and really find out what it's all about. But it sounds pretty cool.
Let's stop by the Tesla dealer. I've known a couple of people that have fallen in love with the S, and we're very close to pulling the trigger, and then practicality got the better of them. They were like, nah, it's not really, especially if you have kids or whatever. It's just, you know, the ice cream on the fancy seats and stuff is just.
Yeah, I can't. I've got a Passat, and I love my Passat. It's not a diesel, even. It's a regular. It actually gets fabulous gas mileage, and we don't talk cars very often here, but it does. It gets great gas mileage for what it is. It's built for five people, so I can get all the kids in there. But it drives me crazy, and I'm not one of these car people. You know, where I've got to have a shiny and new and slick and all. But kids. Do you have to ride the bike right next to the car into the garage? And every day I come out, okay, what is this scratch from? What is this scrape for? Why is there a big bang in the back of the trunk? Oh, come on, kids. You know,
sure, blame the kids.
Yeah.
what a dad.
They're not here today. There's no kids talk tech.
They
don't see me. So
you need to set up some webcams and catch them in the act.
There you go. It's not like there's a mystery to it. There's no need for that. they know who they are. I know who they are. It's there's. I don't need anything high tech.
So what we need then is autonomous bicycles for the kiddies, so they don't run into your.
There you go.
Into your ride, yeah. That's the whole thing.
I like it, actually. That's a good idea. You know, in fact, you start thinking about the autonomous vehicles and ways that you can make sure that people are safe. And I can see that sort of technology, not autonomous bikes, certainly, but I could absolutely see starting to build into helmets or into the bike frame itself little transponders, you know, that the autonomous vehicles would be able to recognize and respond to, so they can make sure they're not not slamming into kids. But that's on a different topic. You know, speaking of transportation, though, I did see now, and I know some people who are involved with the station will be very pleased to hear this, is that Uber's getting beat up. They, in fact, they just received an F from the Better Business Bureau. you don't get an F too easy. That's pretty. That's the lowest, lowest rating, of course, that you can get. And they mainly gave it that rating because of it turns out. And I find this. You know, you kind of have to take the F with a grain of salt, because they're receiving an F because of their business model, which is this surge pricing that we've talked about.
Right, right.
You know, and the idea being that if you're in a high peak, you know, if it's a peak demand moment or location, Uber and Lyft does the same thing. Uber is going to change the price that you're charged for that ride, and it can be up to 10 times as much as the original initial price. So so remember that if you're calling an Uber when you're standing on the street corner, you know, downtown Chicago, and it's pouring rain, you're going to pay a premium to get that car there right away. So
what Uber, what's the other big one, that ride share software app?
We got Lyft. Lyft is the other one. That's the one with the fuzzy mustaches on the front. There's Uber. And there is another one, isn't there?
Yeah. But the thing is, though, is that, you know, regardless whatever setbacks are occurring now, you know, it's the paradigm's changing. If we do get autonomous cars, will anybody actually own a car anymore? If you can order a car online to show up, mm-hmm. and take you where you want to go, and then after it leaves you, it can go pick somebody else up. Mm-hmm. Why do we need to then own a vehicle?
Yeah, and that's what I see, and I'm sure, I don't know if they've said this or not, but I'm sure that's where the Uber and Lyfts of the world are kind of heading, because the real weak point for them in their business model is the human driver. They've got to find people that are reliable. They've got to find people that are, you know, going to show up when they want, you know, not going to get in accidents.
And they can't put them through the same vetting process that established taxi and limousine companies can. Mm-hmm. There's a much higher bar for licensing, for a chauffeur's license, in Illinois or any place else, really. That you have to have a background check. Yeah. You have to have they check your driving record and all that. I don't think any of the app ride shares have that capability at this point.
Yeah. No. I mean, supposedly they do. They do to some degree. They try to. And there's been surprisingly few incidents of, you know, illegal activity, or, you know, people taking advantage of the situation of having a very light vetting on them. But you know, Uber has claimed that they do a thorough check of the police and other records for them. I've actually considered, you know, signing up to become a driver in my local area, just for fun, just to find out what it's about, see what the process was, and maybe go and, you know, pick up a couple of people just for the heck of it, just because that sounds like it would be kind of cool, maybe once or twice, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I don't think it's something I want to make a life out of, but, you know, kind of a neat thing. You know, go pick somebody up.
Meet some people in a neighborhood. Yeah, find out what's going on.
Yeah,
you know.
You got a big fuzzy mustache on the front of your car. Hey, what could go wrong? Yeah, I'm sure that's what my neighbors want to see too. Is my car pulling up with a big purple. Big purple mustache on the front.
Yeah. Well, I thought about getting a Red Bull, car. You know, I've thought about, you know, I mean, I was doing a lot of commuting at one point. I thought, well, you know, a way to address some of those commuting costs is get the car wrapped in, you know, in an ad, and get paid to drive around, you get paid to take surveys.
Yeah. No, I had friends who worked for companies that had company cars that you could use for your daily commute if you wanted to. But the thing was the company cars were plastered with ads. I can't remember what the company was. It was like a Red Bull or something, though. And so you could drive back and forth to work. You never had to pay for gas or maintenance, but you also had to drive around in a big Red Bull car. So.
Yeah.
And of course, Red Bull's getting sued right now. I don't know if you'd heard that as well. There's a class action suit against them.
Red Bull?
Yeah. Because
for what?
It turns out that contrary to what they claim in their advertising, Red Bull does not give you physical wings that would allow you to, you know, fly.
I heard it was settled. I heard it was settled for like $10. A person or something. Seriously.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
maybe. And once again, it was a headline. I didn't get into the story. I don't know who the source was, you know, how reliable the source was. But if you complained, if you actually took the trouble to complain to Red Bull that you did not get wings when you drank Red Bull, they gave you a $10 credit for more Red Bull.
Yeah. Fantastic. Isn't that great? Yeah. And how does that happen? And yet you can go to CVS and buy, you know, homeopathic remedy, blah, blah, nothingness, and, you know, guarnica something or other that nobody even knows if that's really what's in it. And those guys just keep, you know, cranking out stuff. But
it doesn't even have to have a homeopathic label on it. What about cough syrups? They've done several big stories on cough syrups. Cough syrups do no good whatsoever, most of them.
That's right.
Actually, they said none of them. None of them do any good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know. Do you ever buy cough syrup? I know I do.
Not anymore. Honestly, we did stop. We used to buy Robitussin. We were big on Robitussin. The only thing liquid really that I buy anymore for colds. Oh gosh, I love NyQuil. I could just do that every night. I I'm almost like look forward to getting sick because like, oh good, I get to have the NyQuil. Give me two bottles. I'm gonna go through that stuff. You know,
dude, you need a program. You need a quill. You gotta go to Quill Anonymous.
It's a 12-step NyQuil DayQuil program.
Yeah,
DayQuil.
Yeah, if you're taking DayQuil at night and NyQuil during the day, then it's even worse.
That's right. No, it is. It's bad. It's bad. You get on that cycle though. You know, it's okay. Oh man, the NyQuil's kind of knocking me out this morning. I need a little DayQuil to get me going. Just tip half of that into my cup of coffee. Nobody will know. They won't be able to smell it on my breath then.
the Frappuccino, the quilled chino. That's what you need. You got it. That's the Starbucks in the bad neighborhood. That's where you get that from.
Oh man! Hey, you know what? I just realized we're a long ways down the road here. Let's see if we can get in our good friend Jay Garman. Now he's on his cell again, so we're going to we'll give it a shot here though. And see
it's always
happens.
You know the excitement of live radio and the risk of the telecommunications system.
You got it. Yeah, but like I said today, you sound like you're in Panama. You sound that good. It's clear as a bell. I don't know what's going on, but it's very nice.
Yeah.
Whatever the setup is, hold on to it tight. Hey, good morning. Good morning, Mr. Garman.
How you doing, sir?
Pretty darn good. I was just telling Dave, he sounds so good. I almost thought he was in Panama again.
Actually, as soon as you said that, I started having sound issues.
Yeah, well, I think Jay, your cell is a little. It sounds like you're at a Chuck E. Cheese's or something.
Pretty close. I'm trying to get away from the cheering and the music, so give me a moment here. I'm at an elementary cross country meet, so it's interesting.
Oh, very cool. Oh, that's fun. See, I have that dad's ear for places I want to avoid, and
well, normally this is my wife's job, but my wife is down with strep throat today, so I am two kids and an elementary cross-country meet. And I'm making time for you guys because you're worth it.
Wow.
What a guy.
You got to check those priorities, Jay. I don't know. I don't know.
And shattering geek stereotypes being at an athletic event.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. With both of the kids at the athletic event. Man, man, that, and that shows some that shows some guts too to bring them both and do that. Well, Jay, well, we won't. I won't try to pin you down for a super long time then. But yeah, we were just talking about how much fun it was, and we were looking forward to someday not not having to use our credit cards anymore, because it just seems like every week some new retailer gets nailed. And I, Dave had not heard this, but Dairy Queen got hacked. Same back off hack that that the other ones did. And so if you're out there buying peanut butter parfaits and Mr. Misties for the kids today, just keep that in mind. You may want to just pull out the cash.
See, that seemed like a really ill-considered to me from a hacker perspective, because, A, I was shocked that anyone that ate at Dairy Queen could have a credit card, and B, if you did, I bet there's not a high limit on it.
This is a good point. This is a good point. But you know, I guess the thing is, it's so many of the really good credit card places have already been hacked. There's not much left. You know, you're down to the Dairy Queens and what was the sandwich joint last week? You know, Subway's, Dairy Queens, and that's about it. So. You know, at a certain point, there's just no other options. You got to steal your credit cards where you can get them.
Well, and what's ironic is, you know, I'm waiting like the next rundown of like someone's gonna hack the Cash America Pawn servers or something. You know.
Exactly. And boy, I would love to see those guys get wrecked. You know,
About it.
Not the pawn stuff so much. I mean, that you kind of know it's a little dicey going in there. But you know, the paycheck. That's what I'm thinking of. The Paycheck America scammers, schemes, and all that. You know, they'll give you money in advance, pay in advance for your check, and only charge you like 300% interest for the privilege of of helping you, you know, quote unquote, get out of debt. I would enjoy watching those guys crumble down. That would be kind of a nice thing. Oh man. It's real interesting though, is that the software that's being used, I just mentioned this briefly, so I'm going to go a little bit more detail in it, is this Backoff malware is very, very commonly used now, and not because it's any better or more effective than any of the other malware that was out there. It just has become, for some reason, the tool of choice for these hackers. And what I hadn't realized is the way that it works. And I was reading an article about how, actually on AmericanBanker.com, which is bank technology news, which is actually a thing. There is a thing for that and a place you can go for that. But they talk in depth about what Backoff is and what it does. It actually is one of these sort of man-in-the-middle malware pieces, but it specifically goes after the remote access tools that so many people are using now. And what they do is it gets installed either by internet drive-by stuff or through a link in your email, and it looks for computers, and it finds computers that have remote access pieces on them, like Log Me In or Windows remote desktop tools, anything like that. And then once it's got that, now it can start keylogging. It can get access to the entire computer. And if that computer's on the inside of a bank, they've got access to everything. You know, and when you get keyloggers and everything else involved, boom, now they've got the keys to the kingdom, and game's over. So I found that fascinating, that that's another vector that we have to watch out for.
Well, it is interesting, especially since, you know, it shocks me to this day how many banks and whatnot still don't have internet access completely locked down in their buildings, especially, at least in my experience, being a proud denizen of the suburbs, these big, large bank buildings where, yeah, there's the standard tellers and a safe deposit box downstairs, but there's three floors above that of mortgage loans and this, that, and the other, you know, business loans, and it's all sort of one building and one network. And loath though it is for me to praise a stodgy old insurance company, I contracted for 5 months at Humana, which is a major, major company, in their headquarters. And they actually were really smart about this. They said, we can't lock everything down because the employees will get bored. They're going to get on Facebook somehow. They're going to find a way. So what Humana does is they run two parallel networks. They have a wireless network exclusively for their actual work, which is extremely locked down, and all the machines that connect to that network are extremely restricted. You can't go hardly anywhere. But they have a second network, which as a member of the Prime network, you can give yourself access to, which is almost entirely open, and you're allowed to BYOD on that, bring your own device. So if you want to Wi-Fi your smartphone to the secondary network, it's wide open, and that thing is sketchy as all get out, and they don't care because the two networks never cross. They got completely separate pipes, everything else. And it's sort of like an internal honeypot of stupid. You don't try and hack around on your work network because it's not worth the effort when you've got a free network where you can compromise your cell phone I brought my own MacBook in on that. And, yeah, they don't care if I screw that up because it doesn't have any of their information on it.
Yep. You know, and that's really a pretty good idea. I mean, it's a nice way of sort of accepting the human condition and saying we're going to have people that are going to do these things. So let them have it, but let them have at it in a way that's going to be secure still for us. You know, I think with the banks, one of the issues that they have is that they do still focus, as you said, on that, you know, the safety security box, the huge vault with the dials. They're very focused on that physical aspect of security, and so much of our information, our wealth, which is what the banks are there to protect, is not physical anymore. You know, it's not locked in a bank vault. It's not locked in a safety box. It's it's out there in the air, and if they're not protecting that for you as well, they're losing the game for us.
Well, the only thing keeping the banks online is they are liable for losses that their security failures lead to. They eventually have to pay me back if someone else, through no fault of me, takes my money out of their account. So their insurance companies will come in and explain to them exactly how secure they need to be. But that's really the only thing keeping them online, because you're right. What they're still obsessed about is actually having talked to a few bankers who really, really don't get it. One is they're obsessed with physical security, and two, they are absolutely terrified not of losing money, but of other bankers figuring out what deals they're in on, which I don't think is really a thing. Like, oh, no, you're going to lend money to this guy for a Subway franchise when I was going to lend money to this guy for a Subway franchise. Like, that's – oh, no, you know that I'm going to give Jay, you know.
Oop, uh-oh, did we lose him?
I can't hear him.
I think we lost you, Jay, if you can hear us. Uh-oh.
paging Mr. Garmin. Paging Mr. Garmin.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, there he is. Oh, there he is. Now we got you.
The joys of technology.
Yep, lost you for just a second there. But yeah, they really focus on things that just, you know, are 20 years ago. Those were the concerns. Those were the ways they made money and saved money 20 years ago. And it's just not it's not a thing anymore. They need to break out of it. They need to make a move from that. Speaking of which, I promised I wasn't going to keep you for very long, but I know some of your layers of expertise here in particular, and one I wanted to hit you up on for sure. So Snapchat, speaking of hacks, just got hacked as well. In fact, I think it was like 200,000 accounts, an enormous 13 gigabyte library of photos and videos. Now, Snapchat, of course, is a service which is built on the idea that it is an ephemeral video and picture sharing site. And by ephemeral, I mean you send it to someone and supposedly it's gone. But of course, there's been a ton of these external apps and backup services. This is why I was bringing it to your attention, Jay, with your connections with Backupify, that are not ephemeral at all. And now Snapchat is blaming these third-party services, saying that that's what left their users exposed, even though they've tried to shutter them. But, it's really, it kind of comes back to that idea of if you don't want it on the internet, don't put it on the internet.
Well, and that's a real you're coming onto a subject which is actually very close to my heart, which is pointing fingers based on API access. So how does a guy who's having written guidance on how to manage cloud-based service level agreements, you've always got to be very particular about who assumes liability in what situation. And I'm very certain that Snapchat, being the young and immature organization, did not take a good long look at what their API access lets third parties do. If you correct your API correctly, the API can request, there's pull and there's post and that sort of thing. If you configured it correctly, it can't just leave a hanging open connection there. It shouldn't be able to get stuff it shouldn't be able to do. But, I still remember when we were building it back up, the LinkedIn API access, which we've since deprecated, because LinkedIn said flat out on the API documentation, this is a fun side project for our engineers. We don't really promise anything. Which was like, really? Like, these might go down. We might change them. We might forget to tell you we changed them. Good luck.
and they have. I know they've changed it a number of times. One of the things, in fact, that LinkedIn has done, which is definitely good for security, but I would say is also rather irritating for those of us using it, is made it so that the API access and authority that they allow expires quite rapidly. I think it's like every 3 to 4 weeks or something like this, and you have to go in and you have to reauthorize it and re-authenticate it no matter what service you're using. And if you're a big user of Buffer, which I know you are, or other services like that, you got to remember. Got to remember to keep going back in there and keep re-authenticating it. I did a lot of stuff with SOAP and with some WSDLs and things like this, trying to access into web services using the same sort of layered authentication. And all it takes is one bad line of code, and you're either not going to connect or you're going to connect in a way that's completely insecure. So it is a scary thing.
It totally is, because basically when you get to the end of it, it's just XML. And if you don't hash it right, it's everything to everybody. Like, oh, look, here's the entire, transaction right in front of me, including credentials.
Yep. All in plain text. Oh, this is great. Exactly. Oh, that's it. Well, now with the Snapchat hack, of course, like I said, it is from these third-party services. They have tried to shut that down, but they do have an API. It's also very easy to just take that video and picture stream if it's coming on your personal device and do whatever you want to with it. The more sort of disturbing part of it, of course, with Snapchat versus the iCloud hack, which also exposed a lot of, material, nudity of celebrities and so on, is the nudity and the exposure here is not of our celebrities, but it's a lot of it is minors. It's children who are using Snapchat for, it's the sexting and the personal expression and all the other stuff that they're experimenting with and doing, and that in our day and age used to be an embarrassing moment that we've tried desperately to forget, now is not only recorded for posterity but shared on the web, and it's a disturbing and difficult thing to kind of get your head around and also to see it happening, because you feel that pain for the
what it really is we run the risk of turning an entire generation into sufferers of all the same anxieties and issues as child actors who had all of their awkward moments on screen and also, documented by the press. We're going to do the same thing to literally every kid with a smartphone, because all of their awkward moments are going to be infinitely documented and infinitely observed. They're going to have all of the same anxieties and inescapabilities of that. And have you all seen how well, you know, child actors turned out? You know, the record there speaks for itself.
Well,
it's
one of the Coreys turned out okay, right? So, I mean, that's a 50-50. Trust me, I'm crossing my fingers hoping for a 50-50 in my family.
Well, what you're saying is you hope your wife's genes are not recessive, is what you're saying.
Exactly. That's exactly it. and she does too every day. Well, it is getting close. I can hear the hooting and hollering in the background. So Jay, I will let you answer our last trivia question, and then hopefully you've got something queued up for this coming week too.
Right. Well, I believe I sent in by text the question of what was the accomplishment of the Soviet space mission Zond 5, which is often erroneously attributed to the Apollo program.
Yes.
And the answer is Zond 5 was the first spacecraft to, like, living creatures around the moon. Literally years before Apollo pulled this off, actually a little over a year before Apollo pulled this off, Zond sent mealworms and bacteria and flies and, most importantly, a group of tortoises around the moon and safely landed them back in the USSR, where the tortoises survived for many years afterwards. Matter of fact, the biologist who examined them after the flight said, mostly, they're just hungry.
Wow.
So, Apollo was not the first program to put living creatures around the orbit of the moon, or actually anywhere beyond Earth orbit. The Soviets pulled that off, I believe, in 1968.
Wow, and they got them back alive. I mean, that's the thing. You always, of course, hear about the dogs and the monkeys and so on, and you know, sadly, most of them lost their lives. I didn't realize they actually got animals back alive, too.
Yes. The Russians were not particularly careful about that, but what they were trying to do was prove they could bring someone back from the moon alive, because they were eventually going to work up to cosmonauts. Now, they stopped once they got beat, but they pulled off that particular feat before we did. As a matter of fact, we tested lunar orbit with living beings with people. we didn't do any monkey moonshots. It's like, yeah, this will work. It'll be fine.
Yeah. So is that overconfidence, disregard for our astronauts' lives, or somewhere in between? I don't know. That is definitely one of those jobs that, as interesting as it exciting as it seems to be, not part of my scope of capability, being a test pilot of any sort. I value my safety and my life far too highly for that.
I don't want the world to go on without me. See, there's no accomplishment that's worth the absence of me.
That's right. It's simpatico. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. So what should we be thinking of for next week, Jay? What can we focus on?
Well, last week was the anniversary of Linus Torvalds posting to Usenet that he had created a free operating system kernel he'd like some feedback on. Which everyone knows is actually the initial release of Linux, except that Linus Torvald didn't call it Linux. He actually didn't call it anything. But he really didn't want to call it Linux because he thought it would be too arrogant to name after himself. So the question is, it's two-part. What did Linus Torvalds want to call Linux when he released it, and who made him call it Linux when?
Good question.
Yeah, those are great questions. And it's interesting, too, big news this week for Netflix viewers who are also Linux users. The Netflix is now available to run in your browser without any additional legwork if you're using Ubuntu Linux with a Chrome version 37. Now, I've got 38 on my Linux Mint, and it does not work, so I'm having to assume that other people have had success with it on the other flavors of Linux. But it's right there. And if you're not a Linux user or a Netflix subscriber, you're you're like, what is Mike talking about? But but if you fit into that little niche, this is big stuff. So all right.
Thanks for the tip, Mike.
Yeah, there you go. All right, well, Jay, I'll let you run. It does sound like there's a lot of excitement going on there. Thank you, though, for joining us. I'm glad we were able to get you on the air this week, and we'll look forward to some answers and maybe a little quieter a little quieter Saturday for you next week. And wish your wife all the best of health, too. That's no fun.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, guys. And you guys have a good weekend. And, don't do anything crazy with Lennox.
I'll try not to. All right. Take care, Jay. Thanks.
Take care, Jay.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
What a trooper. His kids are at an athletic event, and he still takes time to talk to us.
Yeah, Jay.
That's how much he cares about the listeners and the great host of Tech Talk.
Yes, there you go. And jgarman.net. So you can find out a lot more about Jay at jgarman.net. We always link to that from techtalkwrlr.com also. But you can find it right there, too, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool. Good stuff. I almost hate to do this. I'm going to bring up someone who, in full disclosure, this is someone who is a sponsor of the station. And I'm going to mention that you, too, can be a sponsor of the station. WRLR is a volunteer-run and also community-based nonprofit organization. That means that the only reason that this show is on the air today is because of generous donors and because of local businesses like yourself who want to hear their name on the radio and who want to support us and support this great community information that we're getting out. One of those supporters, so I'm saying all the good stuff up front here, is Comcast. Comcast has been a great supporter of the station and does a lot of wonderful things for us. However, they're in the news again, and not for good stuff. Not for good stuff at all. Turns out that a man in California is suing Comcast because he claimed he got fired because he complained to Comcast about his cable service. And so the Comcast rep hunted down his boss and filed a complaint with the customer's boss, and he worked for a consulting firm that did financial stuff, and so he knew that any suspicion of unethical activity and things like this, he worked for PricewaterhouseCoopers, as a matter of fact, would be enough potentially to at least get him into some hot water. As it turns out, it was enough for them to just say, we can't have anyone with this type of record or these activities in or out of the office going on, and they let him go. And so now he's suing Comcast for his job and for lost wages and emotional distress and all the other good stuff. Now, Comcast has come out and actually offered a non-apology apology, basically saying we're very sorry about what happened with Mr. O'Rourke's service. But they dropped the ball. They're trying to make things right. Mr. O'Rourke deserves an apology from us. We're doing this one publicly. But, of course, no reference at all to the case at hand where Mr. O'Rourke claims that they actually caused him to lose his job. I'm laughing, but what an awful thing. You yell at somebody on the phone, and the next day your boss is dragging you into the office and saying, sorry, bud, gotta let you go.
imagine the trouble we've somehow managed to avoid being on the air talking about the, Comcast is a sponsor and has been for a long time, has helped out WRLR. However, that doesn't stop us sometimes from calling them out when we don't agree with their policies or if we believe that their policies are not in the best interest of the people they serve.
Yeah. Now, and I will say, too, so it's very interesting. I just got back from a trip to Las Vegas. We do this every year with a bunch of guys in my family, friends in the family of the guys. It's a guy trip. And one of the fellas that comes with us, and he was my roommate this trip out, I'm not going to mention his name on air, great guy, works for Comcast. And so he and I got into quite a number of very detailed, in-depth discussions about Comcast technology, but also, too, about the Comcast policies and so on. And now he's been with Comcast a long time. He's definitely a loyal Comcast employee, and that really shone through with our conversation. And he had he had a realistic insight into some of the issues at Comcast and with these, you know, megalithic corporations. But he also felt very strongly that Comcast does try its best to give the good service, you know, the best service that it can, and that it does try its best to be an ethical company and to do good things, and that they're in a as tough a spot as anybody else, trying to make the infrastructure investments that are required in order to provide service around the country and still make a profit, you know, and not doing that gratis or pro bono, but actually doing it in such a way that they can provide service to even the lowest income in rural areas, as well as the highest paying areas, and not take too much of a hit for it. So it was an interesting balance. I don't often get that balance, I guess, in my conversations. And so that was a nice thing to hear.
Yeah, and the marketplace is shifting, right?
Mm-hmm.
More and more people are going with things like Netflix or Hulu. And what's the other one? Zudu, I think there's one called.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I just made it up. But there are so many, you know, ways for us to get content other than spending money with our cable providers. So, they're trying to, you know, do the best to serve their people and take care of their employees. And sometimes we feel they cross the line, and we find it entertaining to make fun of them. So,
yeah, absolutely.
And we've done both though. We've ridiculed them. We've made fun of them, but we've also praised them many times. I myself have. I've heard you do the same thing. We've praised Comcast. There aren't many, there aren't that many public utilities, for instance, that would be willing to help out a community organization such as ours, and Comcast does.
There you go. That's exactly right. And I'll mention it one last time too. Again, is that, you know, Comcast is a supporter of the station, and you can too.
Yeah, don't let them hog it all.
Yeah,
don't let them hog all the glory. Come on, step up.
Yeah. If you don't put your money down and support the station, then that's the only people you hear on here. You know, if we only had the one spot we were running, that'd be pretty boring too in those breaks. And we're gonna have a commercial break in just a moment. Not a commercial break. We're gonna have a spot break, sponsor break in just a minute here too as we transition. We've of course got Robbie Schott First coming on air here in just a minute as well. So we'll be doing that. I am gonna do. You know, I don't really have cool sites of the week. I don't know if you have a cool site of the week, but I did have two cool apps of the week, fun games. If you got nothing better to do here for this Columbus Day weekend, the long weekend, 4 days straight up for a lot of kids. I love a couple of these little games that I've been playing lately. Because, you know, that's what you need in your life is a couple more time wasters, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah, you do, yeah.
So one of them, if you're a fan of the, you know, the match three type games, you know, where you got to drag and match up three things in a row and all that. And I've, you know, like the, what is the Candy Crush type of game. I like those games sometimes. One of the best ones that I've played and had fun with, it's free on the Apple Store, is called Monster Busters. You might want to check that one out. That one's a lot of fun. It is free. And not only that, the thing I like the most about it, of the free set of these games, very high quality, a lot of fun gameplay, and it's although it's freemium, you know, where theoretically you're supposed to, you know, pay for dimes and whatever else to get up on higher level, you don't need to. You can just keep cranking away. It's not like Candy Crush where you get to that that level where you just can't progress anymore and you feel like they're bending your arm backwards to get you to actually invest real money. I don't get that feeling with that one. That's a lot of fun. Another one that I'm having fun with right now, I don't know what the longevity of it is going to be in my life, but my son got me onto this. My 14-year-old son, Adam, loves this game, and I started playing it too. It is a lot more fun than I expected it to be. It's called Hearthstone, which is a card-playing game with World of Warcraft. Universe. Rob is looking at me in bemusement, like, "What? You've never played that?" I never have. I'd heard of it many, many times. Never really tried it. If you're looking for something, it's a little different from your typical arcade or even puzzle games. It's a card collecting game. You get these cards. They have different capabilities, and then you play them at different times in order to defeat your opponent. So it's fun. You create decks. You do different things. There's some strategy involved. There's some luck involved. It's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying that one. Those would be my two apps. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, you pick those two up, and I think you'll be busy. You'll be busy for a few hours anyways.
Sounds great.
So I don't know, Dave, did you have any cool sights of the week or anything we should be thinking about this next week before I sign us off? And
not really. You could Google. I found an interesting little video. I think it's a zombie does the chicken dance to catch a chicken.
Oh,
if you Google that, it's not bad.
What is it called again? I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch it.
A zombie does the chicken dance to catch a chicken. It's a 60-second video. It's very lo-fi, very low tech, but it's kind of entertaining.
Excellent. Yeah. I'm gonna have to look that one up. That sounds I don't know what that sounds like, but it sounds like something I'm probably gonna be forced to grab and pick.
There's a tiny little bit of violence in it, not much.
Well, I mean, there's zombies. It's dead people. You know, it's Halloween. Come on. That's another thing too that's kind of cool. So if you're looking for things to do as it comes closer to Halloween, movies and things like this, so many of these classic old movies that we remember, or maybe don't, but late night TV memories anyways, are available full and uncut on YouTube. I really was not aware of YouTube as being a venue for full-length movies, but you can. In fact, I just watched recently Buried Alive with my son. We're getting ready for Halloween. That's from the early 50s, I believe, early to mid-50s. And one of the classic, kind of gothic horror type of movies with the twists and the turns, and you don't know who's out to get them, kind of things. And there's a lot of them like that out there. I think The Blob is another one you can get on YouTube, so you can check that out too.
I'd love to hear more, but we're out of time.
Absolutely. And so don't go away. Dave, thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to let you go away. And,
adios.
We'll talk to you next week. Thanks.
Take care. Thanks. Yep. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Dave Sparky Saganaki. And that was, of course, we had jgarman.net on there, too. All right. I am going to sign us out here. I'm going to play a few spots and things. But before I even do that, we've got our podcast only song of the week this week is going to be, I don't know what our song of the week this week is going to be. And nice thing is that Rob shot first. He's taking his time today. So he's giving me enough time to kind of hustle through things. I tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to figure out what the podcast only song is going to be on my own time. If you do listen to the podcast, go to Tech Talk. WRLR.com. You'll be able to download it there. In the meantime, though, listen to these spots and sponsors.